Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the church today.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, a southeastern suburb of London. We meet each Sunday for the divine service at 10:30 a.m., and I'd like to invite you to come along and join us. I know that you would be warmly welcomed. I also serve as the pastor of the Kent Mission, which meets the first Sunday of each month in Raynham, Kent, at the Evangelical Free Church on Woodmore Road at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I also help out with St. Columba Lutheran Church in East Kilbride. They meet each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. So if you live in the Glasgow area, I would encourage you to go and pay them a visit as well. However, if you don't live near any of these locations, why not go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory button and find the congregation closest to where you live and go pay them a visit. I know that you will be blessed by that. As always, I'd like to thank you for your prayerful and your financial support of Lutheran Radio UK. Without your prayers, without your contributions, we wouldn't be able to continue this ministry of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, His love, His salvation, His forgiveness to people around the world. So we are deeply grateful to you for your help and support. Today, we are very pleased to welcome to Lutheran Radio Dr. Carlos Walter Winterly. He is the rector of the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Swanee, South Africa. Walter is here visiting in the UK. He has family here, and we are very pleased to have him with us. Dr. Winterly, welcome to Lutheran Radio.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
It's great to have you with us. Now, we want to talk about theological education today and the importance of theological education. But I suppose my first question to you is, how did you actually get involved in theological education? For our listeners, your background, you were a pastor in the Lutheran Church Brazil. You were their Lutheran Hour speaker for many years, and you were also the president of the church, I believe, for 6 years. So can you tell us a little bit about that path and then how you end up in Africa with theological education?
Yeah, I was president for 8 years, 2 terms. And after the 8 years, then I was expecting a call from everywhere. And then someone from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod called me and asked me, would you consider a call to Nairobi? And the man here said, where is Nairobi? Kenya, Africa, wow. And then I was talking on the phone. I said to my wife, let's go to Africa. And she said, let's go. And 1.5 months later, we were there in Nairobi without any bigger preparation or so. And we went for 2 years as missionaries there, and the contract was renewed for 2 more years. On the second year I was there, 2007, I was invited to go to Mozambique as translator of the regional mission director, because Mozambique is a Portuguese-speaking country like Brazil, my home country. And a former refugee had opened a small Lutheran mission far from Maputo, from the capital where we had a meeting. But I invited him to come to our meeting. Then he reported very excited about how the mission was growing. And he said, but I need help for theological education. I need to prepare local people to lead the services and so on. Then I said, okay, Concordia Seminar from Brazil has a TE program, Theological Education by Extension. And of course, I will contact them, and I think we can offer it to Mozambique. And so it happened that I became the person in charge of this theological education program. We organized everything, and the classes began 2010 with 8 candidates. I was going there once a year, 3 weeks, intensive course. Another colleague was going also for intensive course, 3 or 4 weeks. And some of the professors of the seminar came too. 2015, this class graduated, and we began the 8 first candidates. And we began a new class with 60, first 30, then it was growing. Now we have around 60 candidates coming to the theological training. from there 18 to 20 will graduate next year. And so I am in charge of that program. From Kenya, after my contract was renewed, we were 4 years in Kenya, we were called to Cape Town in South Africa. For 5 years, it was renewed for 2 more years, 7 years there. When I thought it was time to retirement and go back to Brazil or whatever, and then the mission of the Lutheran churches related to Blackmar mission in Germany called me to be the rector of that seminar. I was very reluctant because I'm not really an academic, and I am a missionary, a pastor, but they said we want just to have a pastor in that position for a while, 3 years contract. And so I landed in Pretoria, being the rector and giving classes there for a, not a big seminar, but even so, when I arrived, we had 35 students, including deaconesses from 7 different countries in Africa. And then some of them graduated, some of them didn't continue. We had 16 last year, and 6 graduated in November this year.
Now, I can hear someone asking, okay, this is great. People need to be educated. They need to learn about the Bible. But why do we have to do such a structured program? Why does it take so long? You talked about the first group started in 2010, and it's taken them, you know, eight years to graduate. Why so long? Why such an intensive and drawn-out program? Can't we just give them a Bible and turn people loose?
The matter is so. The Theological Education by Extension program has original 6 modules, and we added a 7th one. Because in Brazil, that program is used for deaconess program, to train leaders, not to train pastors. But the reality in Mozambique is so primitive, so rude, due to the many wars they suffered and so, and refugees that had to flee the country, but ever more so, the people didn't have opportunity to go to school, and regular education is a very low level. This means that program of TEE is for now enough. But of course, we will need to improve it in the future. And so to present the 7 modules, you need to go several times for intensive course. We don't teach Greek and Hebrew and whatever more, but the basic of the Bible, of the catechism, of church history, interpretation of the Bible, and so on. The good matter, I think just answering your question, is that the candidates, they don't wait until they are graduated and ordained to preach. They are very eager to lead services and to preach. Then some of them with a very little knowledge of the Bible and having the catechism, they preach. They lead services. And so some people in Brazil wanted to extend the course. But I'm always saying no, because for their reality, they need more ordained pastors now, as soon as possible, because the reality demands it. And the church is growing amazing. With the work that God is doing through the students, the candidates, and through the few pastors that we have.
So tell us about how that is happening. You mentioned about 10 years ago, there was only one small congregation. What's life in Mozambique in the Lutheran Church like now?
2006, when Pastor Alfazema began, was nothing. And he began in his home village, and on the way to the main village of that region, he had to stop to eat something. He had just a bicycle. And when he stopped to ask for a banana or water or whatever more so, he witnessed. And then people said, please, we don't have a church here. We need a church. Then he found that during the first year that he was working there, he founded 8 congregations. And from these 8 congregations, we had 8 candidates. Yeah, the first 8 candidates. And he was always saying, we cannot open more places because we don't have people to lead. the services, to lead the churches. But after a short break, he had to go back to Canada, where he was accepted as a refugee due to health issues. And he passed away this year. Unfortunately, he had cancer. But even so, after the first graduation in 2015, the candidates began to witness in the village around where they were living. And the people that came to the graduation, around 1,000 people came to the graduation and ordination service. And when they went back on the way, they witnessed. Even the driver of the truck that came, that brought some of them to the service, he was witnessing what he had heard and seen. And so many new congregations were open. And the blessing is so, the pastors don't need to be every Sunday day. Impossible. We have now around 80 congregations and 8,000 members. But the local leaders who are coming to the training in the TEE program, they are leading the service. One of the congregations, I really like that congregation. I was there 2 years ago, just after Easter. And then I wanted to preach about St. Thomas. And that he missed the first Easter service. And he missed to see Jesus. Then I read the text and began to ask the people, who was not here the last Sunday? No one raised a hand. Who was not here the last Sunday but one? No one raised a hand. I was being translated to the local language, yeah? Then I asked the translator, are they understanding my question? He said, of course, they are understanding. Then he repeated it. Then one lady stand up and said, Pastor, we are here with pastor or without pastor every Sunday. Unless someone is very sick, but though, and the church was packed. I thought it was just because I, as a visitor, was there, yeah? And she said, no, we are always here. This is a blessing. I call it a new Pentecost. It's happening in Mozambique. The doors are open there for the gospel, and it's really a privilege to go to train people, and we train from Monday to Friday, and on the weekend we office 4, 5, 6 services with baptisms, a lot of baptisms, and so, and God is blessing the work and His word in the heart of the people.
So for some of our listeners who may not be familiar with Mozambique, can you tell us more about it, where it's located, what's the population, maybe what's the land size, and what is the religion or religions that tend to dominate in Mozambique?
Mozambique was a Portuguese colony, like Brazil, and it became independent just some years ago, 20 or 25 years ago, I'm not sure. And the Catholic Church was predominant there, but it's not predominant anymore. And many other churches are there, but some of them don't go to the bush where we are going. We are going far in the bush. Very bad roads. We are based on a village. We are in Beira as well, the second largest city of Mozambique. Mozambique is located, makes border with South Africa. And with Malawi, and with Zimbabwe. Then it's part of Southern Africa in the Indian Ocean, in that area close to Madagascar, that area so. I cannot speak about the size and the population, sorry, but it's a very poor country. They had the cyclone Idai on March this year, that destroyed 90% of the second main city of Beira and all the neighborhood villages and cities as well. And we as Lutheran Church, we had the opportunity to get grants from many countries, even from here too, especially from Germany and America and Brazil. And we were able to feed those people during 3-4 months, sending them grants to buy rice and cooking oil and beans and also seeds to begin to plant again. But it's a very, very poor country.
And so it's through the preaching of the gospel and the teaching, but it's also then through the care that was demonstrated, say, after the cyclone, that the church is able to reach out and show the love of Jesus to the people in the community.
that care, we encourage people when they receive, because the Lutherans, the members of the church receive, yeah, but we encourage them, please share it with your neighbors, with the witness. And they did it. And so many people came to the church also, to the Christian faith, because they acknowledge that that church was not only preaching, but was taking care of the needs of the people. There are many people that are animist. Yeah, the original religion from Africa. And they are scared about the forefather spirits and whatever more so. And then the baptism is something amazing. Because when we ask, do you renounce the devil, all his deeds and work and whatever more so, we add another question. Do you renounce the evil spirits of your forefathers? This is very important. Before the adults are baptized. And they always reply, yes, we renounce them. And once a lady, she was so excited that she began to shout, we renounce them, we renounce them, we renounce them. She was shouting loud and convinced that she had now the Holy Spirit, not more the bad spirits of the ancestor. Then it's really God's mission happening there in that country.
Again, a wonderful story. We here in the West take our baptisms for granted and think they're often nothing more than sort of a social convention, but to see the joy that the gospel brings is just wonderful.
Maybe just a bit about baptism. During the time when the founder had to go back to Canada due to health issues and the graduation of the first candidates, they didn't have baptism during the year, only when the Brazilian pastors went there. And then we baptized 80, 100, 150 people in one service. Sometimes it was 300 people in a weekend. This is something amazing. Yeah. Therefore, I said it was really a new, or is happening, a new Pentecost in Mozambique.
So, Dr. Winterly, how can our radio listeners assist your work and the work of the church there in Mozambique?
First of all, praying for Mozambique with thanksgiving and asking for God's blessing upon his word and sacraments. Because the temptations are big. Some of the new Christians don't resist the temptations because we know that it's not easy for them in the environment they live. Sometimes the relatives are still animist and they became Christians. Even a sad story, one family was burned alive inside their hut during the night by their relatives because they became Christians 2 years ago. Something very sad. It means pray. Pray for the people to remain faithful to Jesus and faithful to the church in their communities. Second, if you are able to, support the mission with your donations through the Evangelical Lutheran Church in England and the Women's League here from England too, that are sending support also to Mozambique for some years now. Pastor John, Pastor Arnold Bessel are always in touch with me about these challenges and ready to help Mozambique too.
We are very pleased and glad to be able to assist with that, and we encourage our listeners to do the same, and we do pray God's blessing upon you and your work there. Let's shift gears just for a little bit and talk about theological education then at the Lutheran Theological Seminary. Can you, again, you're the rector there. What does that mean?
It was for me a huge challenge. As I said at the beginning of the interview, I'm not really academic. I said I need support. And then one of the professors was nominated as the registrar, and he was giving me the support in the academic level. The seminar in Trani, Pretoria, began with the first missionaries that came from Germany to South Africa and was really established, I think it was 1941 or so. And in the year 2001, he moved to Pretoria, from the rural area to Pretoria. And this opened doors to more candidates to come from different countries. I mean, when I arrived there, the seminar had people from 7 different countries in Africa. From Ethiopia, from Sudan, from Congo, from Uganda, from Liberia, from Zambia, and from South Africa. We are now waiting candidates for next year, also from Malawi, maybe from Burundi. And we are in touch with the leadership of some small churches in Africa. We had a meeting this year, there in Pretoria, with the leadership, bishops and presidents and so, encouraging them to send candidates to our seminar. This is a blessing that the seminar is not just for one church, not just for one country, but it's a seminar for Africa. We see, or I see the seminar as a mission agency. We are preparing pastors, missionaries to go after this back to their countries to do God's mission there, preaching the gospel of Jesus by grace, by faith alone.
So not only is it a way to educate people, but it is a way of bringing people from different countries and cultures together so that they can get to know each other better and work in the future, hopefully closely and well together. Is that part of the mix as well?
This is a huge challenge, you know, because so many people from different countries together is not easy to manage. Even for them, it's not easy to manage. All the matter of xenophobia in South Africa is very strong. And sometimes I think you can listen here or see in TV too, some riots and foreigners are killed or persecuted or so. And in a smaller sense, it happened inside the seminar too. Until the people realize that we are all Christians, we have to support each other, we cannot fight among us. And this is one of our task there too, to help the students to understand their role in God's work, in God's plan, in God's church. It's not just a matter to be educated, but a matter to witness by words and acts.
And so can you tell us about the courses that you offer there? How long is the program? What are the courses? What is expected of the students?
The original curriculum is based in the curriculum of the traditional seminars of the Lutheran Church, like at here ELC. 5 years having Greek and Hebrew and all the matters of systematic and dogmatic, whatever more. But the seminar was not accredited. And then we are working on the accreditation of the seminar. And the government allow us to do only the first step now. We hope to reach it this year. Accreditation in a diploma level, that will be 3 years course. And as soon as we have the accreditation, we will work on a bachelor course 2 plus years. This means we will go back to the original plan of 5 years to graduate as student. The matter is to have the students for such a long time, full-time students. We have from morning to 8 to 1 p.m. classes, and the students are living in the boarding school. We have accommodation for all of them there at the seminar. This has a huge cost. And then we depend on donation and help of the people. Thanks to God, we are now in the situation that 50% of our budget comes from South Africa, from the church, Lutheran churches in South Africa, and from donors. And 50% are coming especially from Germany and North America. Other churches, like here too, are helping to support and to sponsor the students.
And as you talk about this, you talk about these church bodies that are working together at the, to sponsor the seminary. Can you tell us a little bit about how that happens? And again, I pray and hope that it has improved the relationship among these church bodies.
Yeah, we have two main confessional Lutheran church bodies in South Africa. One is the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa, and the other one is the Free Evangelical Lutheran Synod in South Africa. Both of these church bodies have in their annual budget some amount for theological education, because the seminary belongs to the two churches. You know, they are the shareholders or the members of the church or the seminary. And the churches encourage their members. Some are farmers, huge farmers, that they shall individually help to sponsor the seminar. And then we have some very good donors that every month they deposit in the seminar account, yeah, some amount that is very, very helpful so that we can buy food for the students and pay the lecturers and whatever more is necessary, maintenance and building and so. Last year, we did a huge campaign of donation of food. And then families and people and congregation, when they came to Pretoria, they brought the boots of the car full of rice, cooking oil, and whatever more so. And it was so successful that we spent only 25% of the food budget. All the rest, 75% was donated in food for the seminar. We have one farmer that always donates pork for the seminar. We always have this kind of meat available there. And we buy, of course, chicken and beef and so to share with the students too. But it's amazing to see how people are committed to support the seminar. And this is really by faith. The treasurer, I think 3 or 4 times, he sent a letter, email at the beginning of some months to the shareholders and to the board of directors and say, we will not make it this month. I don't know what to do, how to pay, and whatever more. I think, wait. I think the first time he sent such an email, I present the email to the students during our devotional time, and I said to him, let's pray about it. And just that day, 4 cars came with a boot full of food for us. And some good donations are put in the bank account as well during that week. I mean, we are really surviving by faith and trusting God, and He is helping us so far. And we trust really that He will help us in the future too. Because the students don't have a condition to pay for themselves. And some church bodies, like DRC, is a very poor church too. They want to send more candidates, but they don't have money to send the candidates. Even to pay the air tickets, sometimes they are not able to. And we need a lot of support in that matter too.
Dr. Winterly, thank you for this information, both on what's happening in the Lutheran Church in Mozambique and about the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Pretoria, South Africa. But unfortunately, we've run out of time. I'd like to invite you back next week to carry on this conversation. And I'd like to also invite our listeners back. And as we carry on this conversation with Dr. Carlos Walter Winterly, who is the rector of the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Swanee, Pretoria, South Africa.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.